Have you ever been around somebody in the church that prays well? You know, good prayers. They're kind of intimidating, are they not? You ever been in a small group with a good prayer? You know, somebody just knows how to turn a phrase. They can turn it quick. They just put it all together in this tidy little package, and you wonder yourself, how do they do that? How is it that they just make it sound so eloquent and so nice? Have you ever felt like you shouldn't pray because you should just let the GPers, the good prayers, do their thing, right? You ever felt compelled after somebody prays, just walk up to them, hey, GP, that was a good prayer. Yeah, that was great. You can try that out in your growth groups in the weeks ahead. You know, somebody does a really good prayer, just tell them GP. They can go on and on, and it's funny. Good prayers are those people that have been around the church a long time, and they just roll from thought to thought to thought to thought, and it just gets expansive. In fact, you can almost kind of perceive the way that they think by the things that they are praying towards. You can hear them kind of working it all out as they go through their prayer. You can actually tell what a person loves by how they pray. You can tell what you love by what you pray about. You can tell what you care about in the midst of your prayers by the way that you pray. How you pray reveals something of your heart, and it reveals something of what you care about, what you pray for. Who you pray for matters in the midst of a prayer, in the midst of talking to God. This morning we come to Ephesians 1:3, and this is the longest sentence in the Bible. Now, in your Bibles, it's broken up. In my Bible, it's broken up. This is broken up into three different sentences. But verse 3 to verse 14, in the original language that this was composed in, is one sentence. One gigantic 202 words, all in one sentence. This guy, the Apostle Paul, would flunk basic English in any school. But in Greek, what we have is the spilling out of Paul's just extraordinary praise to God, to Christ, and to the Holy Spirit. And it follows, number one, letter A, his inspirational greeting. You remember that? Grace and peace. The cause and the effect that it has in our lives. Charis, God's grace. Shalom, God's peace that comes to us through Christ Jesus from God and by His Spirit. Following that inspirational greeting, Paul explodes in praise. He launches into this massive 202-word sentence, blessing God, verses 3 through 14. The sentence is written in an Old Testament style of an extended eulogy. Now, eulogies are usually used where in our culture? Funerals. But this is a eulogy that is meant to simply be a spilling out of appreciation, a spilling out of praise. It's praise, letter B, for God's election, His adoption, His will, His grace, redemption and forgiveness, wisdom, the mystery of God's will, the ultimate unity of all things in Him, including believers. It will refer to both the we and the you of us as believers. Everything is unified together in kind of an explosion of gospel delight. There are very few passages in all of the Bible that are more significant and more important than verses 3 through 14 of Ephesians 1. Because they identify who we are and they teach us something critical about how we pray, about how we bless, about the way we ought to be in Christ. This framework of blessing occurs in this passage in the church. In other words, it is ecclesiological. Ecclesia is the Greek word for church. And so the English word ecclesiology means it's about the church. It's an expansion, or it's exploring the church. Everything in this passage is happening in the context of the church. We don't actually get to that context till the end, but we realize that this entire thing is occurring in Christ's church. Furthermore, it has a central focus on God. Theos is the Greek word for God, and in English it's theocentric. It is theocentric for us. It is a God-centered passage. It is also Christocentric. I'm not going to explain that. Jesus Christ-centered. It is also Holy Spirit-centered. Pneumo. Just trust me on this, all right? It means wind or breath. It means something that fills the sails, right? It's the breath of the Holy Spirit-centric. It is God, Christ, and Holy Spirit-centered. And it all occurs in the context of the church, all under the capstone. And I want you to watch this in verse 6, 12, and 14, because it's how he separates the passage into pieces. It's all to the praise of his glory. We exist to the praise of his glory. You are here to the praise of his glory. You will walk out of here today to the praise of his glory. Is that your life? Is this my experience? Is this our church? To the praise of his glory. Take a look in your Bibles. I'm going to start reading in verse 3. I will not stop till verse 14. I tried to read it as a sentence, and it's impossible. It just works against us. So I'll pause where it seems appropriate in English, but I want you to listen carefully for the things that I've detailed in A, B, and C. See those things? Keep your mind focused on these things as you read. Do not just listen to the Word of God like it's the newspaper. Listen to it and hear what God has for us this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. There is no more powerful or influential passage when it comes to the identity of who a Christian is in Christ, by God, in the Spirit, that exists in all of the Bible. This is the one. You literally can read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the praise of his glory, in verse 14. Everything else that's in between modifies that opening statement. Everything in here is a subordinate clause, a supportive clause, a prepositional phrase, a participial phrase. All of it contributes. That's just to get all the high schoolers excited, because they thought, I'll never use this stuff in the real world. When will I ever diagram a sentence? Try on this for size, all right? Try a 202-word sentence to diagram this, sucker. It's incredible. Verses 3 through 14 present to us a concept that in verse 3 is unique in Scripture. It does not always occur. Normally, when you experience blessing in Scripture, someone is being blessed, There's a reason to bless God. In other words, bless God because He created the heavens. It's a call, in other words, to blessing. Did you hear those words we sang this morning? Alleluia. Hallelujah. That means it's a call to the congregation for everyone to worship God. This is not a call here. This is not one of those kinds of passages. This is unique. What we are experiencing is actually the bubbling over of the Apostle Paul's prayer and his personal blessing of God. Do you ever think of yourself in that context? Do you ever think that you bless God? It's easy to think of God blessing us, isn't it? It's easy to think, well, God blesses me. He gives me all these things. It's easy for us even to think of blessing another person. I can bless you by doing this thing. We don't probably phrase it that way, but we give somebody, we do a favor for somebody, or we do something kind or generous for somebody. We give them something that they could not get otherwise, and we're blessing them in that thing. We've even received blessings from other people. But for us to bless God, how do you bless somebody that's got everything? How do you bless somebody that really doesn't need blessing? He's blessed, right? He is the blessing. How do I bless Him? And yet the Bible teaches that God's people are a blessing to Him. But how? The Apostle Paul leans into this sentence with all that he's got. And he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he pours out how it is that we bless God. It is a statement of blessing towards God. God, I am blessing you in this way. Blessed are you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on through all these characteristics that are true of who we are, who God is, how we fit, who Christ is, where the Holy Spirit fits, where you're at, how it all works in the church. And he ties it all together with the simple phrase, to the praise of his glory. Which is why we will often say that we exist to give God glory, to enjoy Him and to give Him glory, to experience Him and to give Him glory. And when you give Him glory, when you live to the praise of His glory, you yourself are blessing God. And I got news for you this morning. This is our calling. This is who we are. This is our identity. We live to bless God. And if you've never thought of yourself as blessing God before, I want to draw you into that this morning, because when you walk out of here, you are blessing God. When you talk to one another, you are blessing God. When you are living in the places that no one sees, you are blessing God. Now, see, I have a hard time with this word bless, though. Number two, letter A. Bless is one of those churchy words, is it not? Christians use the word blessing so much that it gets abused. It diminishes its significance. And I have a hard time with that. I generally dislike Christianese. I generally dislike some of those Christian phrases that obscure the real meaning, you know, that are behind them. When someone sneezes, what do we say? Bless you. It's almost pagan-like. It's almost like a cultic response to something. Now, if you tell your kids bless you, don't worry about it, all right? Like, kids, don't turn on your parents and be like, you know, hey, that's cultic, that's pagan. Come up with something else, All right, curse you, you little runt. Don't do that, all right? It's just a cultural thing we say, right? Bless you. It's almost polite. Blessings is a goodbye, popular Christian thing to say. Sign your letters that way. Blessings. Blessings in Christ. Hey, be blessed. We just throw the word around. I have told you the story probably. I was on a cruise recently. It was with my wife for our 20th anniversary, and I walked up, and Melinda and I don't talk this way, but I walked up to get a cup of coffee, was filling my coffee, and this guy walks up to the gal and he goes, "How you doing?" "I'm blessed." You know, like that. And I'm just like, who talks like that? Normal people don't talk like that. I don't know if you know that. But normal people don't say that kind of thing. Normal people talk about something. I'm blessed. I don't even really know for sure what that means to that person, or you probably would know if I said that to you. It kind of just gets buried by overuse. But to bless someone in the Bible is to show favor to someone or something. Now, you might recognize that, showing favor. That sounds a lot like what we talked about last week, grace and peace. Blessing is an active way of engaging both concepts of grace and peace. Grace and peace, when they come together, are a blessing. And therefore, as the blessed, we also get to bless other people. You, yourself, are a walking blessing. Why? Well, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The train that we run through there gives the picture of how it works. God, who is blessed in His very nature, pours out blessing on us, and then we experience the spiritual blessings that exist in the heavens from Him. This is the favor that we can show someone or something. You can bless with your words, your prayers. You can even bless with your actions. None of these quite capture the intent of the blessing in Ephesians 1:3, where Paul actually blesses God for Christ in His, and I capitalize it, spiritual provision. It is Spirit-filled provision. We don't see it worked out until verses 13 and 14, but we realize that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, that's a singular phrase, by the way, that should work together. Don't, when you read this, it's easy to break everything up. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? That's all one thought. We have been blessed in Christ, and what does Christ do? He blesses us with spiritual blessings. Where do those blessings originate in? The heavenly places. It doesn't mean that someday you'll go to heaven and then you'll be blessed. These spiritual blessings, they exist way up in the sky, and you don't get them. Jesus Christ, when you engage Him, then you get to experience spiritual blessings. No, it's an inclusive concept that when we are in Christ, we are blessed in the Spirit with the blessings that God has for us from the heavens. If you are a teenager in the back row right now, you had best be paying attention. I will not tolerate that. To bless is to show favor. God, Christ, and spiritual provision. Paul blesses God. Letter C. Paul blesses God for His gracious gospel plan in all of history. Do you see it? Do you see the blessing that God has? Because He has been working this out through all of history. Did you see how He says, even as You chose us in Him before the foundation of the world? Turn over your page. This blessing evokes praise. It evokes praise for God for His blessings in Christ. Did you notice that phrase as you work your way through this passage? In Christ? In Christ is constant. In Christ is, it's in Him, in Christ, in the glory of God, in Jesus, all these phrases. In Christ is mentioned numerous times right here in this passage. Why? Because this is our spiritual identity. This is who we are. You and I, as followers of God, are in Christ. It is an identity issue. Do you want to bless God? Then live in this identity. Do not be distracted from this identity that is spelled out so clearly in verses 3 through 14. Christ mediates, that means He provides it, divine blessing. In other words, we get blessed when we are in Christ. We are the undeserving beneficiaries of God's gracious saving work. And every spiritual blessing in Christ, which is life in the Spirit. And look at all the times that in Christ or in Him is mentioned, in the Spirit, in God, is mentioned in this passage. Clearly, it is the focus. There's a blessing to God for what He has provided. And yet, simultaneously, there's a call in here for us to be in Christ. How do we bless God? How do you bless God? How do I bless God? by living to the praise of His glorious grace. This is life in Christ. We live to give God glory. We bless God because we reflect Him. Glory is, you know, one of those words that means like shine light upon something, give attention to it, bring it out, show everybody, you know, hey, look, you know, this is my trophy that I got for this or that. You know, Jesus Christ is champion. You lift Him up and you spread His awe, you spread His fame through the world. We reflect Him. We shine light on Him. We reflect Him accurately in our own lives. We polish the things that are in our lives that have sin so that we can deny sin to accurately reflect Jesus. With Paul, we cry out, bless Him who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The passage uses the word blessing three times, right there in verse 3. Did you notice that? Three different words. They're all cognates. In other words, they're related to each other, which is why it says blessing each time. But one time, the last time it's used as a noun, the second time it's used as a verb, and the first time it's used as a participle, which I, you know, honestly, if you haven't been in school in the last, you know, like 2 months, you don't even remember what that means. So I'll just rephrase it for you. A participle, I can hear my daughter talking about it now. A participle is an ing word. It's an action. It's an adjective that is taking an action. So it kind of functions in English like a verb. It's an action or a moving verb kind of thing. And so the very first word, that blessed be the God and Father, really what it's saying from Paul's perspective is, I am blessing you because you are a blessing as God the Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you could take each connective piece and connect it to the last, and he is literally pouring out thanks on God for who He is and what He has done, and blessing Him in the process of it. Sometimes I listen to prayers that I say out loud. We pray a lot. It's part of what we do, right? Every Tuesday we pray over everything you write on the connection cards. Some of you write things on the connection cards that are long-term prayers, and so we pray for you over long periods of time. I'm praying for the people in my growth group. I've got faithful people that distribute those prayers, and so I pray for those things. I've got other things that I pray for. I pray every day for something or another that has to do with this church, its missionaries, or something else that's going on. And in the midst of my prayers, I often ask myself, is this what my prayer looks like? I get so distracted in my prayers, praying for what I need and what you need and what this church needs, that I oftentimes forget that prayer is designed not to change the heart of God, but to change the heart of man. This kind of a prayer changes my heart. This kind of a blessing to God changes my heart. This molds me into being a different man. This changes the way that I look at everything. And when I bring my requests to God under the capstone of these extraordinary living to the praise of the glory of God kind of concepts, it changes the way I look at things. It changes the request, and it molds who I am. I believe it provides the space for God to glorify Himself in the midst of our prayers. But oftentimes our prayers have little to do with God. They are more like Santa Claus prayers, where we sit on His lap, and we put our arms around Him, and we say, I would like an airplane. No, a real one. Or I would like a pony. No, a real one. That kind of thing. And we put our arms around God, and we share, you know, I want this, and I want that, and I want that. And how often do we pray the truth of who we are in Christ because of God and in the Spirit? How often do we remind ourselves that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He has lavished upon us? There's more in that central sentence to this prayer for us to learn and live in with one another than there could possibly be than there could possibly be in all of the passionate prayers that we have that sound so compelling from those of us that are the GPers, where we have strung together thoughts and phrases and things that have to do with our experience and not the truth of who we are in Christ. Do we cry out with Paul, bless Him who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing? This is truly the foundations of the amazing grace that we have in God. Remarkably, number three, letter A, life in the Spirit has been planned by God. Did you hear that? Before the beginning, before the foundations of the world. Does that trouble you? It should. It should bend your brain sideways and then pretzel it into several twists. Trying to wrap your head around that concept is difficult. This election language, that's what we call it. It's election, predestination, foreknowledge, God knew beforehand, God is author, we are actors. Those kinds of ideas and those kinds of phrases. I'm not saying any of them are accurate or right, or what I'm saying and what you're thinking is the same thing. That's usually the truth. Election language that exists in the Bible, choosing before the foundation of the world, often occurs in the context of thanks in Scripture. In other words, they're constantly thanking God for being in control. And the way they phrased in control was what? Thank you that you've been in control since before the foundation of the world, that you chose all of this, that you're doing all this, and all of it exists for the glory of who you are, and the glory of your grace, and the glory of Jesus and the Spirit, and ultimately God. Thank you, God, that we live in the midst of that. This is part of just an overwhelming, abounding attitude, and really gratitude for God's amazing grace, that He is fully in control. Why would he pray that? Because it's just so easy for us to focus on ourselves and our needs and our stuff and what we want, need, or think should happen. It's easy for us to get away from going, God, you are in control. You've got this in hand. You chose us before the foundation of the world. I don't even know what that means, but I know that you've got it in your hands, and I'm going to trust you. That's a more important prayer than, God, what job am I going to have? What person am I going to date? Who will I marry? What do you want to do with my finances? What should you do with this, that, or the other? It is more important for us to trust in the God that has it all in His hands. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. You will never see amazing grace if you do not see the God that has designed it on your behalf. We are the wretch in that song. I am the wretch in that song. And I can never see myself in the light of God. And I can never bless Him as I should if I do not see Him as He truly is. To say that election, letter B, takes place before creation indicates something about God. His choice is due to His own free decision. It's due to His own love. He is not compelled by anything. It's independent of human merit. You aren't just like one of the good people. I mean, the bad people, they go to hell. The good people, they all go to heaven. That's the way that our weird minds kind of work on the thing. God says He chose you before the foundation of the world, not based on human merit, on what you have or have not done, but based on His own wisdom. Wisdom that we can't even begin to perceive. This election is independent of us. He does not choose us because we are good. He chooses us because He is good. God is blessed to share His goodness. Election comes entirely from God's sovereign grace for the purpose. Do you know that? It says that in there, does it not? You've been chosen with a purpose. You've not just been chosen to make you happy. That's not what the meaning of blessing in this particular context is. That's one way of looking at blessing. Blessing makes me happy. You blessed me. Thank you. I'm a very happy person right now. I am blessed. You get a front car space at the mall, and you've got kids in the back seat, and you got to carry them. You're blessed. Not the same blessing I'm talking about here, but still it's a blessing, isn't it? It makes you happy. It's better than having to park a mile away and haul those kids in. I get it. We use that phrase, but it abuses its meaning here. That we have been blessed with a purpose. That purpose is to be holy and blameless before Him. Not of your own merit, but in Christ. We live in Christ. We function in Christ. Our identity is in Christ. We continually remind ourselves and we pray blessing upon God because we are in Christ. We're focused on Christ, not on each other, not on the past, not on the future, not on what we've got going on today. We don't let ourselves get totally frazzled with all of these things. We are focused on who? Christ, because that's our existence. And why? Because we are living as a reflection, holy and blameless. You do realize that if you were saved for a purpose, it means that you were saved from a purposeless life. If you were saved with a purpose of being holy and blameless, it means that when God chose you, you must have been unholy and you were blameworthy. Whether you've been a Christian from the womb, so to speak, you grew up in it, or you became a Christian this last week, you were chosen with a purpose. And instead of judgment, you have been adopted as a child of God. And a child of God has an identity. And this is it. This is your adopted identity. Your name is no longer whatever it used to be. It's been changed to your adoptive father. And these are the characteristics of who he is and what he does and how he goes about doing it. And we reflect our family name. Understanding the technicalities, letter D, of predestination is never the focus in the Bible. Please, 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 in your growth groups, please, 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 around lunch today, do not, please, I beg of you, do not start to talk about predestination, free will, and all of the ramifications of like, well, wait, if I've got free will, I mean, am I doing this? How could God hold me responsible for something that He predestined? I don't understand what's going on. Of course you don't. It's God, for goodness sakes. I get it. There's a part of this that is beyond human comprehension. Someday God says, you will know as you are known by Him. You will get it someday. But today will not be that day. It's never even the focus of the Bible. You never see the Apostle Paul go, okay, this is what it means. Here's what predestination is all about. Rather, God provides knowledge of His sovereign choices for our security, for our assurance. As well, election provides direction. We are chosen and we have purpose. You're not just chosen to float around in Christendom, happy as a clam, smiling all the time and telling people that you're blessed. You've been chosen with a purpose, not for yourself alone, but to bless God through reflecting holy and blameless living to a world that is unholy and blameworthy. And we must, not because we have to do something, we must because it is who we are. Reflect our Father. It's just who I am. It's just what I do. Saying that God's grace is truly glorious, to sing glorious is God, means that it properly reflects that we are a shining mirror of His glory. His revealed character which, by the way, is Christ Jesus, God in the flesh, and it ignites explosive praise from our hearts, which is filled with the Spirit. What then do we conclude? I tried to write a summary of this passage. What can we conclude from it? This is what I believe we can conclude. And it is, I believe, God's call for us this morning. Bless God, who freely chooses His children for adoption in Christ, for the appointed purpose of accurately reflecting His holy and blameless character, thus revealing His glorious grace, which is His will, producing Holy Spirit praise for God our Father in His beloved Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father God, we do come to You with blessing this morning. God, we come to You with blessing because You are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to respond, Father, in the way that the angels, in the way that the heavens, in the way that all the heavenlies respond to You, we want to properly reflect Your glory. God, You have called us in the context of Your church, in all of the responsibility that comes along with being Your church in the world, that God, You have laid this responsibility on You, the men and women that You have called to be Your disciples, to be those that reflect Your glory, that live to the praise of Your glory in this world. And God, we come in this offering, we come in this time of giving to You, God, to worship You with our finances, with that which You have already given to us. God, we come to You in this time to worship You in song with the words and the music that You have poured into our hearts. God, we come to You during this time to pour out our praise to the living God, the Father of Christ, who empowers us by His Spirit. God, we are enraptured by all that You have given. And we pray that, God, we would engage what it really means to be a blessing to You from this morning and from Your Word. We thank You for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let's stand as we worship together.